I want to finish our little section on James chapter 2. We looked last time at James 2:14. And so let's start by just reading that verse. James 2:14 says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him?" So there's the claim. A man says he has faith, but the condition, he has not works. Can that kind of a faith save him? It is profitless to have a faith that has no works. So that was the confrontation to an actionless faith. Today I want us to see in verses 15, 16, and 17, the illustration of an actionless faith and the condemnation of an actionless faith. Look at verse 15, because here we see a crisis. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food. So here's a crisis, and I want you to see something about this crisis. How are these people first described in verse 15? Note that it says a brother or sister. They are fellow believers. Lots of people are in crises today. No food, lack of clothing. And they would have you help them as they panhandle and seek to get your aid. The problem with that is I never know if this person is really worthy of it because I don't know their background. If it's a brother or sister who is in our church, we know them. And we can tell whether they are in a condition due to their own foolishness or because something has happened that was unexpected, and we can help somebody like that. Galatians 6:10 says this, "As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." That's why when you give money toward the deacon fund offering, which we also call the benevolence fund, we always make sure it goes to somebody who is truly in need within the church. There have been times when we've used that to help somebody outside the church, but that is very, very rare. Why? We don't know them. We're not sure about their condition. But here you see the condition of a brother or sister, lack of clothing, and lack of food. Probably not even enough food for a single day. Those are the two basic needs, by the way, that everybody has, because Paul says this in 1 Timothy 6:8, "And having food and raiment, let us therewith what? Be what? Be content." So if you have food and raiment, this isn't to sound calloused, but really you're not in need if you have those two things. And so some would have you feel guilty that you don't give them a car or a color TV or a pickup truck, something else. No, do you have food and raiment? Then you're taken care of. Those are the two basic necessities. So that's the crisis in verse 15. Look at the callousness in verse 16. "And one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body. What doth it profit?" So what he says is what you found in verse 14. He claims to have faith, and yet when it comes time to the crisis, all he says, well, you know, depart in peace, be warmed, and be filled. That's what he says. What he does, ye give them not. And that indicates an ability to act, just no desire. You're able to help them, but you don't. Paul wrote this in 1 Timothy 5:8, "But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath what?" He's denied the faith. And is worse than, maybe you can remember this part, an infidel. If someone does not provide for his own house, He's denied the faith. He's an infidel. He's worse than an infidel. Infidel is the opposite of somebody who has faith. 1 John 3:17 and 18, but whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Proverbs 3, verse 27, withhold not good from them to whom it is due when it is in the power of your hand to do it. So there in verses 15 and 16, you have the illustration of an actionless faith. But then it closes with this in verse 17. It's the condemnation of an actionless faith. Verse 17 says, even so, having taken this illustration, now James says, now even so, if faith hath not works, being it is dead, being alone. Those two things. Number one, it is dead. An actionless faith is dead. Mathematically, it's like this equation. You have knowledge of a need plus your ability to meet that need plus no action to meet that need equals no faith. Faith is not an intellectual experience where you remain the same after you're saved. If you're truly saved, your faith does not remain the same. Could anybody remain the same after touching 220-volt wire? No, there's action. I mean, how many of you have ever touched a live wire? How many of you grew up on a farm where your dad made you touch the wire? Brandon, that's because my dad did it to me and to him. Out in the field, there's all of us boys, dad's on the tractor, and we're checking the wire, the fence, the electric fence. He says, boys, is that wire alive? We go, we don't know, dad. We says, well, go touch it. Well, dad, no, we're going to get shocked. He says, no, just go touch it. And we touch it. I said, oh, okay. He says, now, keep that hand there and touch the ground with your other hand. I think I've had so many shocks to my heart that, you know, it's going to last me the rest of my life. You know, you never forget that experience. And he would just be on the tractor just laughing. I'm like, man, dad, we almost got killed. It doesn't kill you. And he knew that. But it changes you. There's when there's a live wire, it changes. And when there's live faith, there is a change. There is action. So many Christians are like dead batteries. There's no juice. It is dead. Secondly, it's desolate because the next part of the verse 17 says, being alone. Actionless faith is alone. An active faith is not alone. Here's what John Calvin said. You're quoting a Calvinist? Yes, I'm quoting the original guy here. It is faith alone that justifies, but faith that justifies can never be alone. Very accurate statement. It is alone. Paul shows, and some people have a problem with the book of James. Martin Luther had a problem with the book of James. He said that can't be in the Bible because he preaches salvation by works. It's not what James is saying here. But Martin Luther didn't see it that way. So somebody answering him says this, Paul shows that our persons are justified before God by faith. James, that our faith is justified before men by works. You get that? Let me read it again. Paul shows that our persons are justified before God by faith, but before men, our faith is justified by our works. They can't see my faith. Men cannot see my faith. God knows it, but others can't unless there is a faith that shows that faith is in operation. I was looking in my mom's Bible some time ago, and I wrote down all the quotes she had. I mean, I typed these all out, pages and pages of quotes, sermons she listened to and so forth. And I love going to her Bible and just looking at those quotes. One of those we put up on Facebook, or will be up on Facebook sometime soon. But here's what it said. Faith is never so beautiful as when it has on its working clothes. Think about that. For men to know that you are a believer will be known by your works. That's what James is saying here. If faith hath not works, it's dead, being alone. Folks, let's not have an actionless faith. We've seen a confrontation to actionless faith, an illustration of actionless faith, and now the condemnation of it. Father, I pray that we would be those who act and that our faith is evident to others. As I pray in Jesus' name, amen.